Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
I'm going to have you say this. Lord Jesus, I want to be open to receive everything you have. Everything you died for. Everything you purchased for me. I don't come in my own worthiness. I come because you're worthy. You didn't purchase it because I was worthy. Because I wasn't. You purchased it because you were worthy. You were righteous. You are holy. And I receive it in that light. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I did that is we get saved because we understand we need a Savior, but then we start to walk in Christianity as though we're supposed to just be perfect all the time, right? Don't we do that? And we measure ourselves and we condemn ourselves, or we either get lifted up in pride or we beat ourselves up. We compare ourselves to others, which the Bible says not to do. And because of it, there's a word that God gave me accidentally while I was preaching. And he said, the devil, I was preaching, and I sometimes hear what he is saying come out of my face. But I didn't plan it, and I'm not that smart. And he said, the devil doesn't have the legal right to disqualify you, so he tries to get you to disqualify yourself. Isn't that interesting? So what we do, so what started to happen while I was preaching this, actually, I happened, if you know me, sometimes I preach with my eyes shut. It's just a habit I should break, but I haven't broken it yet. And so I was in Golden, Colorado, and I just was just preaching away, and I just happened to look and happened to catch eyes with this lady. And when I said that the devil tries to get you to disqualify yourself, her eye caught mine, and she went like this. Like she had disqualified herself. And so I went on preaching, and what God was having us do essentially was repent, because he's given us his word, which is true no matter how we feel.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
And so I caught up with her at the end of the service. Now, she's been battling some illness and had been having a hard time even thinking that, honestly, we say, we believe, I'm in faith, hallelujah, but she was struggling because she had disqualified herself. So I went up to her, later in the hallway, and I said, how are you doing? I said, what? I said, you gave me a look. What was the look? And she said, well, over 20 years ago, her first husband had passed away. She was a widow. But before they passed away, God had told them to do something in ministry. She didn't give me the details. They hadn't been able to do it right, and she felt they disobeyed. So she had disqualified herself. And because of that, now she's with her second husband, but she's got this, can you imagine this? It's kind of an internal wall between you and God. We don't, some people don't know it. You want relationship with God. You want it more than, you love him more than anything, right? But there can be a wall, and it's not on God's side. We put it up because we have found ourselves to be lacking or wanting, or we don't measure up, or we're not good enough, or whatever. Or maybe we're hurt or wounded. In my case, I was terribly wounded. Terrible things happened in my life for 8 years. And I'll be honest, I was very immature in God, though I knew a lot of the word. And so in my immaturity, I began to feel like, why isn't God helping me? And there came a wound in my heart, and I didn't say it a lot. Of course, you wouldn't. But in my heart, and I'm saying this because someone has felt a wound. Like, why didn't God help me with that? Why didn't, I expected God to come riding in on a white horse and fix my problem. And, first year, okay, second year, after about 8 years, I was starting to get a little cranky. Like, what is going on? And God began to teach me. Because of his grace, he could have fried me like an egg, but he didn't. Thank you, Lord, for not striking me with lightning. I deserved it. But he began to teach me in his graciousness. He said, I've already come in on the white horse. Been there, done that, not doing it again, Holly. He said, now you can walk in what I've done, or you can walk in what you're walking in. And I realized, because see, I had the first 4 years I had blamed the devil, second 4 years I blamed God. But the problem was me. And so God began to teach me how to receive. And so it took many years. So we're going to try to do it in like 15, because then I'm going to release healing from the keyboard prophetically. So I'm just going to give you some examples. One of the things God said to me is, if you're feeling like this, and this is a normal human feeling, this is not about feeling condemned or judged at all, believe me, anything I'm telling you, I did, okay? But what God taught me, he said, when you feel like this, I know your word says this, but I feel that, or I see that, or this is, he said, Holly, because my feelings had overtaken me. I was being led by my emotions instead of the word of God. And here's what we're good at, especially if you're in a faith church. Here's what we're good at. We're good at, how are you? Blessed and highly favored. We know how to make the confession, but inside, that doesn't mean we're in faith, does it? We are big fat liars, aren't we? Yes, we are. Maybe you aren't. You might not have the problems I had. I'm just being brutally honest. But I'm doing this because this is how you fix the problem. And so God began to say to me, Holly, when you say, yeah, I know your word says this, but I feel, he said, now here's what just happened. You're calling me a liar. You're elevating your emotions as truth and the word of God as not truth. You're elevating your emotions above what I have said. Now, you know, I know most of you are older saints, and you know that all of heaven and earth hang upon the word of God. Do you know that in heaven we will still stand on the word of God? All of heaven and earth were created through it, and it is held together by his word. Held, heaven and earth is held together. That speaker is held together by his word. If his word was not still in operation, things would just implode. And so God, so what do you do when God says something like that to you? You repent. Lord, I'm sorry. And God began to work me through some growing up of learning how to choose to tell my emotions to shut up and sit down. The word is true. And I had to learn that, and not just with my mouth. We're big on saying it, and that's a good thing. But we need to align. And when we align our heart with what the word says, we receive what the word says. And if we don't align it, it bounces off. So what can happen is we can get a lie in our soul. Let's just say that we all know the scriptures. I'll give you a scripture that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't look like it. I don't always act like it. But here's what happens. In your spirit, man, guess what? You're in the image of Jesus. Your flesh isn't, right? But your spirit, man, is holy. So he can save, and guess what he's looking at when he looks at you? Your spirit, man, which is holy. So he sees you as holy, but you don't, because you're looking in the wrong place. We're supposed to consider the flesh dead, not always look at it and go, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm bad. Of course you are. That's what flesh does. He's trying to get us to turn our eyes upon Jesus in us and understand what true holiness is. So let's say that the word says, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, but you say, but I'm not worthy. Now here's what just happened. A filter goes up that often says, why would God want to heal me? I'm not worthy. Is anyone here? Yeah. Why would God want to be with me or fellowship with me? I'm not worthy. Now you just did what I said. You just elevated your emotions. Because what God has done, he's done for eternity. If he hadn't done it, you wouldn't be able to get to heaven when you die. If he hadn't truly purged you of sin in your spirit, listen, when you die, if I drop dead right here, my flesh is dead, but my spirit man, which is made in his image and is holy before God, and so is yours, immediately steps over to be with him. And if you don't believe that, then you don't understand the gospel message. But if you do believe that, how about if we consider it true and live that way? And so what started to happen was we started to take people through. And we don't have a lot of time today. Usually we do this at retreats where we have several days to do this. We're just going to try to do it really fast. But there are a number of lies that you can believe that keep you separated from all that Jesus purchased for you. You know that everything he has, everything he purchased for you is legally yours already. Yeah. From when? From the second you were born again. The minute you were born again, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Your name was written in His book, and you own everything in His account. Otherwise, how would the Word say, all things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's? How could the Word say that? So that means everything He died for you to have is legally yours. So what keeps you from receiving it? Say, oh, I don't know if He wants to do it. He's begging for us to take the stuff He purchased. When I learned this, I went to God. I said, I'm so sorry. I have not been good about receiving everything You died for because I was judging myself. You see how that's a sin? When you say, I'm not worthy, when you have a lie in your soul, whatever it is, and there's many lies that can keep you from receiving, what do you need to do? You need to repent and believe in that lie. And you need to say, you know what? I'm sorry, God. I didn't believe Your word in that. I don't feel worthy because of what of my flesh. But if you say, I'm Your righteousness, I'm going to choose to believe You. I'm going to step over into the Word, and I'm going to receive what You say. So part of receiving is realizing what's your filter. If I had, I wish I had a prop, but if I had like a basket and I could throw a ball in, what if I put something over the top that's a filter that says, God doesn't want to heal me. He loves others, but He doesn't love me. You know what happens? If I drop a ball on that, it bounces off. Did you know God actually taught me? God teaches me a lot through visions because I'm not the brightest lamp on the street, okay? And one time He showed me that there, at the moment when Jesus ascended, He sprinkled His own blood upon the mercy seat. There was an explosion in heaven. And the glory of God began to rain as gold rain upon the earth. And it came down salvation, healing, whatever people needed, whatever was spelled out in Deuteronomy that said these are the blessings because Christ is the fulfillment of the law to those who believe. So he showed me, but He showed me that people had these containers and it was bouncing off. Is salvation for everybody? Yeah, He died for the sins of the whole world. Does everybody in the world receive it? No. My stepmom, if you witnessed her, she believes in God. She believes in Jesus. She believes He's the Savior. She'll say, yeah, I get it. That's true, but for other people, but not for me. I've been too bad. So she won't say the prayer. She won't believe. So, oh, okay, you're the great exception to the rule. Could you see how corrupt we are? Do you see how wrong that is? And how that is keeping her from the glory of God? What if we are doing that with everything that God wants us to have? And I'm not just going to say what if. I'm going to tell you, we are doing that with all the things God wants us to have. You say, really me? Yeah, really you. But I'm not worthy. Of course you're not. Do I look worthy? No. In my flesh I'm not, but He has given me His righteousness. When God started using me to heal people, I would say, how can You use me? He would use me in radical ways. I'd say, how can You use me? He'd say, you still don't get it. I don't use you because You're righteous, because You're not. He said, I use you because of My righteousness, which is 100% all day, all night, every day, every night. So no matter what kind of day you're having, I'm righteous and I can heal. And I can use Balaam's donkey if I want. You understand? So if you can get this, you can receive every single promise. That's why it says the promises are yes and amen. We don't get them because we deserve them. We get them because we believe them. Okay? And so I'm just going to give you a couple of quick testimonies. There was a man, also this was in Colorado, dear man who was, we worked with him a bit. He's quite bright, really bright, very technical, knew a lot of stuff. But he'd been told from when he was little that he was stupid or slow. And you know, when you're told something from little, sometimes you believe it. I didn't know that was his problem, but we were preaching on this, and this came out, and God had us repent. Because you know what? Guess what? If you have thought that, you're not slow anymore, because what does it say? You have the mind of Christ. Oh, wait, that means you're smarter than Einstein. You're smarter than Elon. The mind of Christ, Jesus Christ, is smarter than all of them. And you, if you're born again, have access to that mind. Come on, are you guys here? So that means you don't have to be slow anymore. But what you have to do is say, you know what, I get it, I used to be, or they said I used to be, but guess what, I'm not anymore. this man repented of believing that he was stupid because it was a big fat lie. This guy really was smart. He repented of it. Now, we never prayed for his healing. He had a hip and a leg problem. He walked with a cane and he really walked with a limp. Guess what? No more leg problem. Because he repented of the lie he believed, and it enabled him to receive something he couldn't receive. So we're just opening the bin to receive what is legally ours. Can you follow me? Same with the lady who thought she was disqualified. Here was a lady, another lady. She was saying, you know, I'm able to pray for other people and I see them get healed. But she said, she had said she was born way premature, and so she had had a spirit of infirmity all of her life. So she was always sick with one thing and another thing and another thing. She was 60. And I started to say something, but out of my mouth, I heard myself say, oh, she said, because I pray for other people, they get healed. I pray for myself, I don't get healed. And I said, oh, because your heart has been broken, you've been afraid to hope again that God would heal you because your heart's been too wounded. You know how when you've been wounded too long, you just kind of go, you know, wake me when it's over, Lord. I don't want to hope anymore because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be hurt anymore. You ever done that? That's another filter that bounces off the very thing God wants to do. So I prayed with her and I said, is that the case? She said, yeah, it is. I said, are you ready to get rid of that? Yes. I had her say a simple prayer, like one sentence prayer, right? Something like, Lord, I'm sorry. I was afraid to hope again. I didn't want to be hurt anymore. Father, I'm sorry. I want to hope and trust in you that you will heal me. Now, she never told us what her current malady was. Never told us. But she came back the next day with a testimony. And the testimony was this. She couldn't get out of bed. She had so much pain in her feet that she couldn't get up to go potty in the middle of the night because she said it would take her like 10 minutes to stand up because of the pain. She was completely healed of that. We never prayed for that. What happened? That wall, see, whenever we have a wound, a lie we've believed, we've judged ourselves wrongly, we've judged God wrongly, whatever it is, it creates a wall or a barrier. So God, it's not that God isn't pouring out the stuff. It says by his stripes we were healed. Well, when were we healed? If you study Isaiah 53 and do a word-for-word study, you'll see he purchased healing every bit as much as he purchased salvation. Do you have to wait to be saved? No. Anybody that wanted to be saved right now could be saved, couldn't they? Then did he not purchase healing in the same way? Do a study. We have stuff on the back table. We don't have time to teach it today because it's quite long. But there's one back there called God's Amazing Covenant. We go line upon line, we'll take you through it. But if you can come to understand this, you can step from unbelief. See, remember the town Jesus tried to go to and it said he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Not he wouldn't, he couldn't. Why? And we think that this is an unbelief, but in fact these little things are a form of unbelief, aren't they? And I always thought, oh, those terrible people, they didn't believe in him. No, I think it could be something as simple as, yeah, I know you'll do it for them, but I don't think you really want to do it for me. Well, now, again, you've called God a liar because he said he has no respecter of persons. He didn't say I'm going to die for those, but not those. I'm going to heal those, but not those. No, that is so unfair to him. We are maligning his character. That is not his character. You understand? We need to understand the gospel message in a better way because when we really get it, we will be able to receive everything he died for. When I figured this out, I started to go to God and say, I don't want one drop of your blood to have been shed in vain because I'm not accepting it or I'm not receiving it because I was the worst offender. I was a whiny baby. I was condemned, guilty. I blamed myself. I couldn't receive. I was like the worst offender in this. And when I finally started to see it, I repented. I said, I am so sorry. I want to come to the cross until I understand it. Everything you died for, if nobody else wants it, I want it. Right? So as I'm talking, I'm going to sit at the keyboard and then, Lori, where's Lori? Oh, okay. So if you get a word, I want you to give a thing. Okay. So Lori or I, we will be releasing what God is saying. It may be a healing of the heart, the mind, body. just a word that God is saying to you. We're just going to go with the flow. We didn't plan anything. But I want you, if God has prompted something like, oh, I think I have that, it's as simple as just saying in your heart to God, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. I'm sorry that I counted myself out. That's not who you are. I'm sorry if I didn't hope or believe because I was afraid of being hurt, okay? If I had more time, we would sit and people would go, I've got a problem, and we would take you through the confessions, okay? But I believe you can do it. Is everybody okay with that? Yeah, you can do it. So I'll just give you one more quick story, and then I'll sit down. We were in a conference, and I said, actually God gave me this to say. He said, have him say this. I wish I could have a close relationship with the Father where I can just crawl up in his lap, but I can't because blank. And I said, what's the blank? You know, and some people can. They have that close relationship. Some of us have been walking with him. We're close. We can do that. But not everybody. God wants everybody to know they're his baby. He wants everyone to know his favorite place for you is in his arms. He loves you. But people have a hard time because, again, they're judging themselves. So I said, okay, how many people filled in the blank, everybody? I said, now the first person's the hardest because nobody's, they don't want to be the only one with a problem. Everybody in the room has a problem. So I said, who wants to share what their blank was? And this lady went, I'm not smart enough. Now that shocked me. She felt like she wasn't smart enough that God would want her. I was surprised. I'd never heard of that one. I said, how many other people in the room have that? About half the room. So we took them through a little quick repentance. Father, I'm so sorry. You made me who I am. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to believe that anymore. Simple repentance. And we began to just go through the room and undo all this garbage. Can you see how much stuff Satan has sowed in our soulish realm? That's not your spirit, it's your mind, will, and emotions. Can you see how much stuff he has sown that is not true? And it's up to us to go, no, it is written. Nope, it is written. Nope, it is written. Thank you. And Kena's reminding me not to stand by the spirit. And as we do that, we come more and more into him and into his presence. Because the more you come into the truth, the word is powerful, but only the word you believe in your soul. Lip service and amen doesn't get you healed, does it? It doesn't pay your bill, does it? No, what gets you is when you go, you know what, I am not going to believe that anymore. I used to be mad at God. I'm just going to fess up. I was mad. What is the deal? I was cranky. But do you know, part of healing was me repenting and saying, you know what, I still don't understand everything that happened. But this I know, you're good, and I'm not going to allow that lying spirit of accusation, which is from the devil, because he's the accuser of the brethren, and he's the accuser of God. I'm not going to line up with that thing. I break that. I'm going to, no matter what happens, I'm worshiping you, because I know you're good. I may not understand everything you do, but I know you're good. And you know what? When you start to live in a repentant state of not believing the lie of the devil, I know there's people in here that you have discounted yourself because you think you're not good enough. Honey, you never were. And you're looking at somebody, if your eyes are open, you're looking at somebody that never has been. There is no one, never has been anyone on the face of the earth except for Jesus Christ of Nazareth that has ever been good. He's the only one who's ever been pure. So if we're trying to do Christianity and get God to do stuff for us by being good enough, forget it. He already sees you as good enough. He already sees you as holy. He's already done the thing. If you come to him talking all about your sin, he'll forgive you, but then he'll be like, what? Because he sees your spirit man, which looks a lot like Jesus. Okay? Everybody all right? So if you have thought of some things just between you and God, let them go, because God wants us to receive today in fullness. Hallelujah. So now I'm just going to have you close your eyes, relax, and go with God. There's someone here, God is saying, let go of your past. For too long, your past has hounded you. How it used to be is not how it's going to be. I saw you looking over your shoulder constantly at what happened before and saying, is that going to happen again? And right now, in the name of Jesus, I cut that off. I cut off the memory of how it used to be. This is a new day for you. This is a new day for you. I saw, this is a strange vision, but I saw someone walking along down the road and sickness just fell out of it, fell right out, and they left it behind and walked on. Liver disease is being healed. God is releasing heaven, believe it or not. God is releasing heaven. He's releasing what he has done. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with what he has done. He's releasing what you need. Breathe in. Bringing a holy forgetfulness. There was someone here that you actually have bad memories of an abuse thing that happened, and you've tried to shake the memories and get rid of them. They're like haunting memories of something that happened to you, and you've prayed, you've fasted, you've done a lot, but the Lord right now is releasing you in your mind from bad memories of things that, and he says, you're mine. You're mine and you belong to me. And by the way, he says, I'm very proud of you. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. Things are changing in your life. Things are changing in your life. I'm bringing you forward into a new place. It's a new way of doing things. He said, I want to spend time with you. I want to teach you how to do this, how to walk in a new way. Don't worry about what the people around you think. Don't worry about what your family thinks. They may not understand at first, but they'll see the change in you. And you'll bring change to them. Because when you're healed, you'll bring healing. When you're healed, you'll bring healing to the others. To strive to receive, in fact, that keeps you from it. Striving sometimes can be, it goes into the flesh, right? So just rest. Let yourself go in God. Trust God to do what he does best. You see, marriages, I saw a marriage on the rocks, and it's like you need an intervention from God. He said, well, I just happened to have one. Relationships, strife must go. False expectations must go.
leaving behind.
You're leaving strife behind some people. This isn't for everyone, okay? But strife became a foothold in your home, and it's caused an open door to the enemy, right? Because the Bible says where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil work. We don't want strife because we don't want confusion. We don't want evil works. So we repent, Father, if we've been strifey. We let that go and we kick strife out in Jesus' name. We kick out that idea of placing demands on our spouse that they don't have the ability to meet. We expect them to be like us. They're not. That's why you married them. Your spouse isn't like you. You were drawn to things that are not like you. Don't expect them now to be just like you or to do it the way you would do it. Let them be who they are.
Let it go, let it go. How do you think I deal with you? I let it go, let it go. Don't you?
Aren't you glad?
Aren't you glad?
I don't account your sins to you. Can't you do the same?
Aren't you glad? Let them go, let them go, let them go.
Just pray for them. Bless them and pray for them. Be like me to them. If you're not sure what to do, say, what would the Father do? And then do that. Some of you have wanted to visit heaven. You feel like the door is wide open. Fellowship with me, that all things come. It's through fellowship and relationship. Why do you think the enemy fights so hard to keep you out of my arms, to make you feel like I don't love you, to make you feel like I'm not with you? Why do you think he fights so hard? Because he knows that when you get into fellowship with me and every wall is removed, he knows you will receive freely all the things I have for you. And he knows then it's over for him. Yes? It's all through relationship. Could you trade in that wall, any wall of fear? Could you trade in that wall of fear or concern or worry or guilt or condemnation, self-blame? Could you trade that in and let me tear that wall down, sweetie? Lift up your heads, O ye gates. You know that the gates often are in you. When you do that, you're going to feel the love of God. Some of you have never felt the love of God. If you've never felt the love of God, I'm going to ask you to be courageous and say, Lord, I'm opening myself up. It's scary. but I'm opening up the deepest part of myself for you to fill. And then the love of God, let it rush in, Lord. Some of you have been so busy trying to be a fruitful and productive Christian, accomplishing great things. That's wonderful, but it all works by love. Faith works by love. What do I mean? It works when you go into His love and receive His love into you. Accomplishment works by love. Lord, pour your love into them. I saw that in the past, some people just couldn't, because you don't love yourself. You thought, how could God love me? I break that off of you, that lion devil. I break it off in Jesus' name.
Eres solicitud en away.
I break self-hatred. You have despised yourself and you thought, how could God love me? How could I love others? But I break that off. That is a lying spirit. I break off any self-abuse, cutting yourself down, always saying bad things about yourself. I break it. That's not of God. He's not pleased. He's pleased with you, and He wants you to understand that you have a purpose. I confront that foul, lying spirit in the name of Jesus. You say certain things happened to me because it was my fault. Nah, the dumb devil did it. God is releasing you from lies right now. Suicide spirit that occasionally comes and tempts you. I break that foul, lying devil. That's a demon. Did you know it? I used to have that thing. It's a devil. I break it off of you. I break that lie of depression. I break it off in Jesus' name. God is healing souls. He's going to heal bodies too, but right now He's healing souls. I see someone, you have a huge sliver in your heart. It was put there by your dad very young. I think it might have been pre-memory, and there were some terrible things that happened, and I saw your heart was almost slit. God is healing. I see Him in the power of the Spirit healing your heart. Even cell memory. There's cell memory being healed. Mind, body, soul, and spirit healed from abuse. God is the only one that can do this, okay? But He is undoing some of the things that happened to you. And He is undoing the hit that it took to your soul. He's undoing some of the things that happened to you that made you think you had to prove yourself all the time. P- people demand perfection of each other, but it's just not the way it should be. We demand perfection of ourselves and then we judge ourselves, but that's not how God does things. God is undoing the damage. There's someone in here, you took verbal, you did not take physical abuse, but you took verbal abuse for years and years and years, and you're still taking it. To be honest, you're in a home where there's a lot of unkind and demeaning things that are spoken. God is releasing you. You know, you're free to soar in God. You are free to soar in God and to receive from Him, to go with Him. He called it a marriage for a reason. He called it a marriage for a reason. Some of you are not used to sitting still and resting. It's hard for you. But this is where the action is in the spirit. Did you know it? It's not in running around, chasing accomplishments, doing great things. This is where the healing happens. In the presence of the King, in the stillness. Joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. One spirit with him. So if you go into the spirit, where are you? You're in him. So if you are having trouble receiving things, don't try to get it in your flesh. You can't do it. Your flesh doesn't have it. Your flesh doesn't even have the ability to go to heaven, does it? But your spirit does. Join with him as you were born to do. I see him releasing something. There's someone here that you've struggled with your thoughts. You love the Lord with all your heart, but your thoughts, they cycle around and they sometimes center on something negative and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Lord is healing your mind. He's healing your thoughts. He's releasing new patterns of thinking. And don't we need that? Yeah, we need to think in new ways. Don't we need to think like He does? We need to think as Jesus does, and when we do, we will see victory. I just saw a gateway open. And I saw some goods being delivered from a storehouse. This is really interesting. What you need is on those trucks. I see him releasing strength into you. Strength. Helena, I see you receiving strength. You've prayed for strength. I saw your hips and legs receiving strength. Someone that has heart trouble. Now, this time when I talk about the heart, it is a physical, you've had some physical problems with your heart, and God is releasing healing to you. And if you're not sure if it's you, just say, I receive that. Because we've had many people receive their healing on one word. Many times when a word is released, it is a creative miracle. You understand? I see a creative miracle going on in someone's physical brain. You had some sort of a hit when you were younger. And it actually did some, took some hits on your brain cells. God is healing right now. I'm seeing wholeness. I'm watching right now wholeness come into your brain and your mind. You'll notice it. You'll begin to notice changes. Dementia, hallelujah, God is healing memories. He's healing dementia and Alzheimer's. He's healing and reversing. He said he's reversing. And I got to tell you, when we came home from Colorado, we started getting testimonies of a creative miracle that happened that was literally a recreated body part. And it just happened, you know, we were just diddling around on the keyboard. But God released a word and the person just said, okay, I'll take it. That's how hard it was. Brand new creative miracle. See, it's not hard. We've made it way too hard. It doesn't have to be hard. Don't be in fear. Don't worry what anybody thinks. If a word even smells like it might be for you, grab it and take it, because the healing power of the Lord is here. His power is present to heal. There's something in the neck area. I'm not sure if it's the neck or if I'm actually seeing the thyroid, because it's something that looks rather towards the front of the neck, and God is healing that. He's restoring, he's making new. I just release that. Have been afraid to receive. Don't be afraid, but receive. God is releasing something. I see almost like a cloud of His glory going into your body. A cloud of His glory going into your body. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. This is between you and God. You receive your healing. Don't worry about anybody else. You receive your healing. Nothing would make God more happy and more delighted than to see His children walking in the truth. Receiving the things that Jesus did. Nothing makes the Father happier. Saying, look, they got it. They received it. Look at them, they got it. Hallelujah. Praise be to God forever. We release. I just feel like He's saying everything you need. Release, release. Thank you. Elise, I saw someone, you've been hounded by almost like a tormenting spirit. It sometimes attacks you at night with thoughts of destruction, thoughts of worry, fear, failure, all kinds of stuff like that. It is a lying devil. I break that spirit of torment off your life in Jesus' name. And I break the root cause of that off in Jesus' name. That is not your covenant. So toredisia toreshi. I'm just going to release for a minute here. We're just going to wait on the Lord. I have no idea the time, so somebody let me know how we're doing. So we're okay. Okay. God is releasing something in the room that is much greater than we are. I saw it, seen it several times before the meeting, but I'm seeing it now, that the cloud of his presence is come, but it's, I saw it coming into our soul. We, you know, I don't mean this in a negative way, but we need so much correction in our understanding. You know, sometimes we get opinionated and we block God that way, but God is filling us with his glory, if that makes sense to you. And what he's going to do, if we are willing, he's going to help us to shift our thinking into the way that he thinks. He's releasing. Some of you have, all you've known is how you've lived your whole life. But God is pulling some of that out. I see him pulling strings out, pulling old thinking out, and releasing new thinking into us. Do you know that if we walked in the truth, we would see so much more victory than we see? A lot of the reason we don't see victory, at least I'm speaking from my experience, was I wasn't walking in enough truth. I thought I knew a lot. But did you know that that's the enemy of the truth, is thinking you know a lot? The Bible says if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to, right? We need to learn how to submit everything we think and believe to the Holy Spirit, because he will bring the word of God and correct us and cause us to speak something and miracles happen. Did you know that that's how miracles happen? The Holy Spirit gives you an unction, a scripture, a word, and when you speak it, you're not just giving information. That's the lowest form of a prophetic word. You're releasing heaven into the earth. How do you think Jesus healed the blind? How do you think he healed the deaf? How do you think he cast out devils? The Spirit of God in him. He said, the Father in me, he does the works. How was the Father in him? By the Holy Spirit. Because he said, our Father which art in heaven. Come on. It's the Holy Spirit in him that was releasing, speaking, showing, revealing. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He only does what he sees the Father in heaven doing. He was releasing something, and that, my friend, is what you are called to do. Some of you are being brought from walking in the flesh. You love the Lord. You're not a bad person. God's not condemning you, but you've done Christianity according to the flesh, and God is bringing you over, stepping you over into the realm of the Spirit, where you can operate by the power of God the way that Jesus did. Did he not say, he who believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also? Do you think that he spoke the truth? Yeah, he had to, because he cannot lie, can he? Jesus can only speak truth. So if we align our thinking and our beliefs which means correction, doesn't it? For me, that has meant constant correction in how I think, constant. God doesn't just show up in my door and say, I'd like to correct you today, Holly. No, I bang on his door and I say, help me understand this. If something's wrong, I guarantee you it's not him. If something isn't going right, it's not God. It's the enemy. It might be an attack. It might be something in our soul that needs a little correcting. For me, it's usually been that. Sometimes the enemy, sometimes there just needs to be some good hearty battle that I win. But we honestly need to get off our high horse of thinking we know so much, because we don't. Some of us who think we know a lot in this earth because we read a little scripture, we heard a fancy sermon. I'll tell you what, when you're with God, you know nothing. I know nothing before him. And even those things that he has told me, I may only have a partial grasp or a little bit of a grasp. But if I go to him in relationship, Father, will you help me? Will you show me? Will you teach me? He will work with me until I get it. The problem isn't him not teaching it fast enough. The problem is me getting it, right? But he will work with me for a month if it takes a month until I understand how heaven works. Did you know that you were designed to be heaven on earth? The very design in Eden, the very purpose of God creating children, was he wanted to set up his, not our, his kingdom in the earth. And he told Adam to fill the earth and subdue it, didn't he? What was he saying? He was saying, bring Eden to the earth, bring the kingdom of God, the temple, the glory, the power, the healing, bring it, subdue the earth, subjugate it. For that, by the way, if you look that word up, subjugate, it means to force it to come under your control. Make it. Make the earth obey you. Make the devil obey you. Make it. Force it. Push it. Don't just whine to God and say, oh God, won't you fix this? Well, I gave that to you to do. You were born to take over. Now, the only thing you cannot take over is another person, ever. Because they are another sovereign entity built by God. Okay? Whether you like them or not, humans were made by God. So we don't control them. We don't subjugate them ever. Never, never, never use control to make somebody do what you think they should do. Don't have to, don't do it. That's a demon. That's a devil. Don't do it. But if we could align with heaven's thinking. Most people just go through life and they pray reactively to whatever the current problem is. Oh God, help me out of this. God, help me out of this. That's not wrong. We all come to Jesus that way. But as we mature, we're supposed to become people who house him. How do you do that? We have to learn how. We have to learn how to get better at going into the spirit than knowing everything in the flesh. Or like I used to do, whining in the flesh, or begging God. God's already done. God's already done it. He's already answered your prayer. The issue isn't him. There's a fight on. You have to subjugate earth. You have to subjugate the devil. Make him obey you. Devil shouldn't have any get to, he shouldn't get to say anything in your house. Nothing. He shouldn't get to say anything in your physical body. Nothing. Is there sometimes a fight involved? Sure, sometimes there's a doozy of a fight. But you know who wins? Whoever won't quit. You pray till you win. You fight till you win. But I tell you, the devil, if he gets to see that you won't quit, he kind of stops bothering you as much. He'll try, he'll test, he'll see what you're made of. And if you're a pushover, like I used to be a pushover, he could come and depress me by telling me it's never going to get any better. When I started to believe him because things were so bad for a long time. So I just started to believe it's never going to get any better. I ate his filthy stew. And it became, listen, what you eat is what you become. What you eat is what you become. What you have to learn to dine in the Spirit of God on the Word of God. And I'm just going to say something radical. Yes, the written Word, but yes, also, what is he saying right now? What is heaven saying now? What is heaven saying to you out of the Word? What is heaven saying to you in your situation out of the scriptures? For too long, we've just, American Christians, I'm not trying to disrespect you. I came from this. I was the worst offender. But I'm telling you, when God walked me out of it, I saw that we can have victory, and it is our destiny to do so. But he is not going to do it for you. He's done diapering our butts. If you've been around a little while, he expects you to grow up in all things into him. Yeah. How do you do that? We have to change the way we think. We have to begin to embrace all that heaven has. God's presence is here. Some of you have needs and you're like, will he do it? Will he do it? He has done it. He's asking you to relax and receive what he has done. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what anybody thinks. Relax and receive, whether it's into your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your soul, your strength. The presence of God is here to heal. I see God adjusting a dial. He's turning it up. He's turning up the dial. He's turning it up. I see him turning up the dial, because you know why the enemy's turning up his dial, isn't he? He's been turning up the dial for some years, and it's gotten to a point where a lot of people are, even the unbelievers are saying, is this it? Is this the big windup? Unbelievers are coming to me saying, is this it? Are we done here? Because they can see too. The devil's been turning up his dial, but God will not be outdone. Amen. God is turning up his dial on the presence, but he's saying, whosoever will you leave behind a walk of the flesh? And he's not talking about adultery and sin. He's talking about doing Christianity in the flesh by a program, accomplishing a lot, right? Learn how to step into the Spirit and live with him, worshiping him. Crawl up in his lap. Be a baby in his arms. Let him teach you. Be a child. He said, if you don't come like a child, right? How can you come if you don't come like a child? What does a child do? Daddy, help me. Show me what to do. Teach me, Daddy. They don't know anything. A little child is open for their father to pour in. Be done with knowing stuff, Just be done with that. Become like a vacuum for his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he wants to rest upon you. He wants to remain in you. He wants to abide in you and you in him. I didn't know we were going here, but I feel like God wants to release this to people. I love the Spirit of God. I love him. He saved my life when I would have killed myself. He saved my life over and over and over again. He brought me through. I love him. I have learned he is the wisdom. He is Jesus Christ in spirit form, you understand? But he is Jesus Christ in spirit form on this earth with us. Jesus released him so we would not be doing this alone. So if you've been doing it alone, you're not doing it right. You can't do Christianity without the Holy Ghost, not properly. You can't. You can't. Your flesh can't do it. Have we not proven that? We don't have the ability. People try to preach sermons without a Holy Ghost. Boo, hiss, yuck, no thanks. No, we need him. But we need to begin to embrace him, love him, ask him. Let him tutor us. We have to ask him the questions of our heart. We need to sit with him and learn from him, spend time with him, hang out with him. Do you know that we worship? It's only by the Holy Ghost that we can even worship right. The Spirit of worship can come. You just abandon yourself. That's the Holy Ghost, right? You can't prophesy without him. You can't speak truth. There's nothing we can do without him. And he should become your best and closest friend ever. Get to know him. He's a person. He's not an it. He's a person. And when you get close enough to him, he puts you to bed at night and he wakes you up in the morning. Do you know, I wake up and there's times when I'm so deep in the Spirit that, and there's such a heavy, wonderful, sweet presence, I think I am just going to lay here all day long. And God will show me stuff. I'll have encounters. I'll see things about the election. I'll see things. And I'm not even trying to. I'm just woke up. I'm not a quick waker-upper. But I do sometimes wake up in the presence. See, what happens is when you honor the Spirit of God, He honors you with His presence. When you begin to honor His presence, He will honor you with His presence. When you begin to make way, change everything for Him. Do you have something in your house that He's not thrilled about? Throw it out. Smash it, burn it. You don't need that. You need Him. I decided a long time ago, I will change anything and everything about my house, my yard, my car, my teeth, my body, anything. I'll change anything to make a place where He wants to come and hang out. If my heart has an icky thought, I'm going to go to Him and say, can you please help me get rid of this icky thought? If I'm angry at somebody and I shouldn't be, I'm going to go to Him and say, can you help me with this? Because I'm stinky right now. Like He doesn't know, right? But He knows I need help. Can you help me, Lord? I've got a problem. I'm kind of cranky today. Can you help me with that? Right? I judged my brother, Lord, and I shouldn't have. Can you help me? Yes, I know He forgives me. Thank you, Lord. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. But to me, there's much more. I want to be changed. So that thing is gone out of me. And the more time we spend changing who we are, what are you doing? You're cleaning out the temple. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple, the house, the walkabout, Holy Ghost, heaven, glory, cloud, going somewhere to happen. Do you understand that? And so if you wanted to make a temple for God to live in, man, you would change everything about it, wouldn't you? Think about it when the temple had been messed up and they had to come up and they were trying to clean it out. Remember that? Because it was so holy. It was so holy. You try to change the attitudes, the snarling, the strife. Change all that. Make way for Him. And if you do that, I'm telling you, if you get close to Him, all things are yours. You begin to see things happen before you even asked. It's not because you're a good person. It's because you have housed the One. You've made heaven your abode. You understand? God is calling us to a higher level, a higher type, a higher way of Christianity. Somehow over the 2,000 years, we lost sight of the whole point. Somehow we lost sight of the fact that He's still trying to build His kingdom on earth, and you and me are the only way. The Christians, the body of Christ, are the only way He can do it. So He's looking. Why do you think it says the eye of the Lord is roaming through the earth day and night? Constantly roaming through the earth looking for somebody whose heart is wholly His, completely His, so that He can show Himself strong in them. Looking for the house that's gotten the junk out, that took out the broken stuff, the ruined stuff, the anger, the strife, the attitude, the judgment, the critical spirit. It's worth taking the time to be transformed. Because the more we transform, the more room we make for the glory of God to flow through us. And we don't even have to try. We don't have to make it happen, beg for it to happen. It just happens. Because that's who you become. That was what you were born to do, by the way. People are trying to do all this stuff in the natural and Christianity to prove who they are or to become, you know, whatever, validated, be used of God. Forget that. Forget that. Don't try to be used of God. Try to become one with Him. Try to become close to Him. Try to hang out in His presence. You won't be able to help being used of God. He said, He is the vine and you are the branches. If you don't abide in me, you won't have fruit. Think about a branch on a tree trying to squeeze out fruit, trying to squeeze out a leaf, trying to be used of God. God's not interested in that. You know what? Know where the action's at? At the base of that branch, drinking from the tree. Drink, drink, drink from the tree. Drink, drink, drink from the tree, continually nourishing yourself, you will have leaves and you will have fruit in its season, and your fruit will remain. You don't have to worry about producing fruit. You just have to worry about you aren't drinking enough. Come on. God is trying to get a people so addicted to him, so in love with him, so rooted in him, that they can't tell where they leave off and he starts. You understand? Jesus wants us doing the same works he did. He wants us doing the same works he did. I just feel like, who was that when I called out thyroid? Who was that? Was that you? I'm just going to. Father, thank you for a brand new, fully functioning, perfectly functioning thyroid in Jesus' name. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we just release the fullness of that. That belongs to her. That's hers by covenant right. New. I speak new life into you, Jamie. You got anything? Yeah, come on up. Lori has some.
I see the Lord. I'm on, but I'm not on. Broken? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see the Lord. I saw it during worship, and I saw him touching people's minds. He was touching them right on the tip of their forehead right here. And I heard him say, mind of Christ, recalibrate. And so I want everyone in here to put your hand on your forehead like this and say, mind of Christ.
Mind of Christ.
What's next?
Recalibrate.
Amen. I receive it.
I receive it. Okay, I'm just going to, can I pray for you? I just felt like there was strength, that the Lord is imparting strength into you. Lord, thank you that she already is powerful in the spirit. She's powerful in her understanding. She has a perfect heart for you, and she is a woman of faith. But I thank you that today you are imparting great strength unto her, massive strength, overflowing strength. I command that lying weakness to go. In Jesus' name, it is a new day. I thank you for Helena. I thank you for who she is in the kingdom of God. And I thank you that she has strength like she's never had before. In Jesus' name.
I see this thing on the back of your hand. You know what? You guys remember Mark
16?
School. I'm actually seeing I'm seeing people in here wearing lunch bags, and it's not a good thing. So the Lord wants to remove the lunch bag, the brown paper bag that has somehow wrapped itself around people in here, and it's caused, what it's done is it's caused decay, and the Lord wants to blow his breath and blow that bag away. And so right now I command the breath of God to blow away the lunch bag that is on people in here. Blow away. There's a barrier. It's a small, thin barrier, but it's a barrier designed by the enemy to keep the presence off of you. And so I break that right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes. Brother John, where's John? Back there. Just stand. I'm just going to release a word. I don't know yet what it is, but the Lord is changing. He's changing everything. You're a man of faith, and you've sought God for a long time for some things, but I saw today, I saw you turn and take a shift and go into a new realm with a new understanding and a new way where you're going to find it very easy to receive things. You're going to find it very easy to walk in the Spirit. You're going to find it very easy to receive all the things you've fought. You've done the right thing. You've stood on the Word, and you've been relentless. And I feel like God is really proud of you, but I saw you, your body turn, and you stepped into this new realm where it's going to become very, very easy for you to receive. And surely I saw a picture of you, and I just heard the words, the past is gone. The past is gone. It's over. New day. New day. New you. New day. New you.
Off that word, I heard redemption. Mm. And I'm not sure what it's about, but I heard redemption, redeemed.
I feel like this is for more than one person. I know part of this is for you. And I heard that there's a hope for more, like a desire for more. But I saw this shift, or it was this aggressive, in a good way, taking more. Like I'll have that. Like, instead of just kind of hoping, I saw a stepping forward of an aggressive, I will take that. That's mine, and I'll take it. Like a taking of the Word of God and a taking of the promises. But I feel like that is for more than one person. You kind of go ahead.
Earlier, Holly released at the keyboard. I think she was talking about where you look is where you go, or what you look at is the package you get.
And I was just reminded of I saw like a strategy of the enemy, of like a carrot and a pair of eyes watching this carrot move. And it's actually the counterfeit. It's designed by the enemy to keep you distracted and go down these rabbit holes of the greatest, latest conspiracy theory that is in the earth. And the Lord wants me to remind everyone that He is the maker of heaven and earth. He has the final say,
yeah.
And there is victory in His name. And be careful and guard your mind about going down these rabbit trails, because I see this like treasure chest in heaven that is full of valuable items that He wants to release to you. But if you're looking at the rabbit trail and the carrot, you will miss His blessing, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. So, I just heard the word repent. So I feel like we need to do like a proclamation, repenting on, taking our eyes off Jesus. And so, Father, I just thank You for this right now. And right now, I repent. For following these rabbit trails.
Following rabbit trails.
Chasing the carrot.
Chasing a carrot.
Biting the carrot.
Biting the carrot.
I'm laying down the carrot.
I'm laying it down.
And I am turning my back on that.
I'm turning my back on that.
And I am choosing.
And I am choosing.
To look at You.
To look at You.
And stand on Your word.
And stand on Your word.
And release Your word.
And release Your word.
Instead of the counterfeit.
Instead of the counterfeit.
Or the bad news.
Or the bad news.
I'm taking authority.
I'm taking authority.
And I'm releasing.
And I'm releasing.
Heaven into earth.
Heaven into earth.
Your plans.
Your plans.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus' name. And I feel like for those of us that are obedient in that, to walk in it, we will actually be the solution providers.
Yeah.
And right now, like, sometimes we hear bad news, and it's a little spooky, right? And so we might talk about it, and we scare somebody else, and we try to get them to think like we do. Come on. But I feel like God is saying, come up higher, because what I want to release in the earth, I need my people to hear and to speak what I'm saying into the earth, because that's how the solutions come. Seeing an increase in faith. I'm seeing someone who never really walked in faith before. He always looked to other people for faith, but I'm seeing somebody finally say, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to choose to believe. Years ago, I was at work and God confronted me. And He said, do you believe I am who I say I am? He was challenging me. And I knew enough not to answer fast, but as I thought about it, I thought, well, maybe I haven't been very much a believer. I love Him with all my heart, but I saw a lot of things that didn't line up with God's word. And I didn't really believe His word. And so I repented that day. I was at work. I'll never forget it. And I said, Father, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. Faith was my worst subject. And I said, but God, if it takes the rest of my life, I want you to teach me. And I'm not only going to believe you, I'm going to choose to believe your word. Now, I was looking at a carpet that was blue-green. Don't go away. We're not done. The carpet was blue-green. And I said, if your word says that carpet is red, and my eyes say it's blue-green, from this day I'm going to choose to believe, because you said it's red. It's red. I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to choose to believe it deep down in my guts. I'm going to act like it. I'm going to walk like it, and I'm going to talk like it. And I watched miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, because I finally quit whining and begging and hoping and choosing to believe him. And guess what? It works. The word works if you work it. I don't feel like, are you done? You feel like you're done? I'll keep going. I feel like there's still some more. I'll just start. I saw headaches, and I feel like that was for multiple people. It comes and goes, but God is healing once and for all. There's something about a spine. Something's pressed against a spine in the lower. It's like below the small of your back, and the spine is actually being pressed. There's something pressing it. I don't know what. But in the name of Jesus, I command that to be perfected, healed, normalized. I command that pressure to go. Whatever's causing it must go. I command healing into that spine, and the spine to be aligned in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jamie, was that for you?
Mine's up here.
Yours is up here. Okay.
There anyway, were three hands up, though.
Okay, so whoever that was for, I want you to just quietly say to God, I receive it. I'll take that.
I tried to shake this off a couple times, but there's somebody in here. God wants to heal you. Your healing is in the room, but you're so used to it being a certain way that you're rejecting the healing right now. And yeah. You're used to getting your, you know, coming up to a line and getting hands laid on you and receiving your healing. But when you do that, the healing doesn't stay because you're back in the line again. God's bay is bigger, and you've actually placed a limitation on what God wants to do. And if that's you, just quietly repent and say, I receive my healing now, Jesus.
There's someone here that the way you grew up or the way you've lived, you've always taken the back seat, been in the back of the room. You know, you've always let others go forward, and you've just kind of stayed out of the limelight, and that's been easy. But I feel like God is calling you forward, not to be a public thing, not that way. But he's saying, when it comes to receiving from me, don't hang back. Come to the front of the line. Come to me and receive and be bold. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. And stop apologizing for who you are. I made who you are. Stop apologizing for your weaknesses and for how you... Stop it. I made you, and I don't make junk. And I don't like it when you berate something I've created. You are a holy thing in my sight. You know, one time I got... there was a thing that I know the word well enough to know. This is a promise. God made his promise. It's a covenant. I'm part of the covenant, but it wasn't happening, wasn't happening, wasn't happening. And one day, I shouldn't have done this, but I lost my temper. And I went in the living room and I was like, you said this, and I'm quoting his word back to him. And then I was like, I'm sorry, I'm kind of crabby. And you know, instead of being mad, you know what he said? It's about time. It's about time. Because I, see, our fight, I didn't realize it. Our fight is not with him. We're not trying to crank him to do what he needs to do. Our fight is with the earth, the flesh, and the devil. It's either the earth, something in the earth, which we are put here to overcome, the flesh, which we are put here to overcome, or the devil, which we are put here to overcome. So we need to stop being such weenies about it and get up and fight. Take what is yours. Take it.
Yeah.
Make it yours. And it took me years, so I'm not judging. It took me years, but I'll tell you this, it's much better walking in victory.
Mention there's a friend of mine that did have that issue, and so when you had released that, I actually claimed that and pulled on that from heaven for her on her behalf. So that might have been what you were picking up.
Good. Well, we agree right now. 100% healing. Okay, saw something with the stomach. This is the lower front of the stomach, and it's like, I don't know if it's acid or what, if it's ulcerative. There's something going on that constantly causes problems. It's almost, I don't think it's called irritable bowel, but it's like that, where you just, you know, you just have to be really careful what you eat and when you eat and where you are when you eat, because it just causes problems and pain, but just other problems too. And I see the Lord just like a clean sweep, just your digestive system, it's being healed in Jesus' name.
I just heard and saw a 20-year reset, and I was asking the Lord what that meant. And I saw, Pat, I'll just tell you, I saw you. I saw you now, and I saw you at a 20-year reset, and I saw the Lord just like reverse time and bring back the healings that are yours. And I saw the memory associated with the current state just get wiped and washed by his blood, and I'm believing a 20-year reset. In fact, I'm releasing 20-year reset on everyone in here for 20 years age Amen. Reset Amen. In the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. And when Lori was saying that, Pat, oh, you're in the back, I saw, it was weird, I saw whole systems being healed and adjusted. Like, I don't know if it was the endocrine system, but I saw like a system that's throughout your body that has multiple things coming in alignment and being healed.
So somebody in here had an ear issue, 20 years reset, perfect hearing in the name of Jesus, release.
Someone here has had something since you were born. You were born with a certain issue, and you haven't worried about it because it isn't huge. You know, we tend to just go, oh, if something's little, this isn't little, but it's been with you all your life, but you've just kind of been like, oh, well, that's just the way it is, and you kind of just let it be, and you accepted it. But the Lord says, I'm not accepting that. I'm reversing that. I'm undoing that. I'm recreating that in Jesus' name.
Helena, I see your knees like glowing with the glory of God on them right now.
Hallelujah.
I'm not sure what that's about, but I release that.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. While Marty was praying, I saw a picture of you playing volleyball. I don't know if that's something you did, but I saw this picture and I was like, Lord, why are you showing me that? And I just want you, whenever you are thinking about it, just picture yourself playing volleyball. Just picture, you know, sometimes when I'm getting my healing, I'll picture myself doing something. Like I tried it because it defeats the lying picture, right? The enemy tries to give us a lying picture, but that's not God's picture. I can actually hear the ear like snapping with expectancy. Trying to remember, I'm hearing part of this phrase. It's something like double toil and trouble, or something like that. Brother Ken, I saw that you've walked a long way through a lot of stuff, and I saw a toil and trouble, and it had weighed on your shoulders, and you've carried a lot, and you've kept true to God. But I saw God taking burdens off, just like He was standing by you, and He's taking these heavy burdens off. He was unlatching, unlocking, loosing, and I feel like almost like you're going to be a kid again in his presence. Just enjoy being a kid again in his presence. It's going to be like a new day of just enjoying him. Are you feeling better? Okay. We believe for 100%. Well, you know, we never ask God for a partial healing. I want 100%. And I'm going to bug him until I get it. Right? Even though he's already released it, I'm not going to quit until I get 100%. Well, I feel like that's all I have in words of knowledge. How's everybody doing? Are you all doing okay? Okay. Father God, we release right now into your people all that you have for them. But most of all, that I'm asking you for tenacious faith, bold, obnoxious faith. The kind of faith that won't quit, that even if we get in your face, God, we want what Jesus died for us to have. We want it in the earth, manifested in our mind, body, soul, and spirit, through us, through our mouth, through our eyes, through our hands. We are carriers of your presence, and we're not going to apologize for it anymore. We're not going to shrink back from it anymore. If you feel like you want to go further in your faith, you can say, I'm going to give you some things to repeat. You don't have to say this, but if you want to, if you feel like you want to get move into bold faith, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, if I've shrunk back, I'm sorry. The Bible says you have no pleasure in those that shrink back. So I don't want to be one of those anymore. I'm coming out of my shell. I'm coming out of my closet. I'm going to stop apologizing for everything. I'm going to accept what you have said. I'm going to take it carte blanche. I'm going to expect it. I'm going to demand it in the earth. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to seek your face for anything that you would tell me to do or correct. I'll change anything for you. But I want to make a way for you to flow through me, through my eyes, through my mouth, through my hands, to build your kingdom in this earth without apology, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. God is doing a new thing, and I believe you are in some ways a new people. I think that's what I'm hearing him say, a new people, because he's calling us to this higher realm. So when you get away and you're by yourself and 3 days have gone by, don't go back to how you did it before. Fight to stay in the presence. Keep an awareness. Am I getting farther from God? Let me quickly go and pray. Let me quickly go spend time in prayer. Let me quickly go get in the Word. You have to monitor. You don't just stay in the spirit. You know, it doesn't just happen, doesn't fall on you. You have to work at it. You have to monitor continually. Oh, wait, I don't think I feel a little, getting a little cloudy here, getting a little rusty here, been a little bit away longer than it, which for me can't be, I cannot be away. I cannot do life without him, okay? But there's times you get busy and a day goes by and you're like, oh, something right. Stop. Go sit in your prayer chair. If you know how to pray in tongues, you pray in tongues. If you know how to read the Word, you read the Word. You do what it takes to get so close to him that you, I used to be afraid to say this. I thought somebody would yell at me. You get with him until you become one, until you're so close that you're so aware. He is always with you. That doesn't change. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always. He never leaves you. You leave him and you come back. It's very fluid, right? So you don't have to beg him to come to you. You have to continually work to stay close to him. And it has to be your priority. Or it won't happen. I'm just telling you. But God wants a people who are so in him, so married to him, that when he, if a pin drops in heaven, you go, wait, what was that? What just happened? What was that? If something is happening in the White House that you're supposed to know, you'll hear it even if you're in your sleep. If something is happening that needs to shift and you're supposed to speak something, you'll be in the middle of a conversation with somebody and under your breath, you're like, you know, you say it. That is the life God has called us to, and that is the life that brings heaven on earth and changes earth to be like heaven, which is what he wants, okay? So God is asking us. He's looking for a people in this day. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.